Greetings in the light of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, we want to look at the power of your true identity. Ready or not, beloveds, whether we want to or not, we are so out of here. We are just really moving through that fourth dimension, the very last bit of the fourth dimension, which will land us into the fifth dimension around the time of 2012. So whether we like it or not, shifting is happening, and we must really be anchored in the truth of who we are eternally and forever. So irrevocably so that no matter what experientially goes through your realm of perception, you are centered in peace. The only ones I have encountered on this planet that seem to be in that state unshakably are the self-realized adepts and rishis that I've encountered in my travels throughout the world. And yet many of us today, incarnated on Earth, were those ancient rishis in previous times. That means that many of you that are listening to my voice are already adepts, rishis, ascended masters, and God-realized persons in the process of simply becoming aware of those states. We are in such a vivid world here in the Western world, particularly the third dimensional outpicturings, the fourth dimension right now, which is really in everyone's face. And again, to reiterate, the fourth dimension is that realm where we have pushed everything that is in any way not completely resolved into peace and unconditional love or divine neutrality. We've pushed all of that away and have avoided confronting it and dealing with it in some manner. All of that is corporately in our face now, on an individual basis, on a global basis, on a collective basis, on a subconscious and an unconscious level. These are the forces that are out picturing right now in what you see in the news, read in the newspaper, and witness in the world around you, if you're in sync with that particular worldview. I personally don't see that because I am in a different vibrational perspective. However, many people are experiencing tremendously fearful of visions and dreams and forebodings. They're tremendously anxious to know what's going to happen, and they're feeling in many, many cases somewhat helpless and powerless to shift things. Or they're taking desperate measures to shift, let's say, the furniture in the room that we call the third and fourth dimensions. So let's look at this aspect of reality again from yet another way. I like to look at truth through many, many different lenses so that we can, each one of us, find a place that we can tuck into. First of all, let me ask you, have you ever had an encounter with the divine so life-changing that you never again went back into the state that you were in before the encounter? Now, there are many, many terms for that experience, but bottom line, let's just call it a divine encounter. Now, that could have been sparked through meeting a great being on the inner realms, of visiting a great being in the physical plane, or an encounter with your own divine being in meditation. Or very often these experiences can come when you're in an extreme sense of endangerment or in a near-death experience. Or sometimes you are forced into that shifting of your point. Your familiar point of referencing is dramatically shifted by some outer event. The sages and rishis in the East often say that to awaken from the nightmare the nightmare being this illusory world of separation and vengeance and attack and fearful scenarios, to awaken from that. Sometimes it's a gradual, you know, like when you come out of sleep, sometimes you awaken by stages. Sometimes you awaken very suddenly with a start, usually, and sometimes the awakening is as frightening as the nightmare before the awakening. And sometimes you will drift in and out of the dream, the nightmare. You'll wake up or you'll think you wake up on the other side, and then you fall back into that same nightmare. Or sometimes you actually wake up in the physical, and then you go back into the nightmare. And sometimes the nightmare is so intense that you go immediately into full enlightenment or full awakening. And this is a perfect analogy of the different ways that we are returning to our original divine identity and the truth. The experience in the third dimension has been one of trials and tribulation, where we learn of truth by experiencing its opposite. And as such, it's been a wonderful teacher. Likewise, the many people that are teaching all sorts of different viewpoints and perspectives and approaches, they're all doing a wonderful job, because there's so many different mindsets and levels of unfoldment and consciousness that we need all of these many perspectives and teachers, because there's going to be something for someone. And in the lower worlds, we learn not only from reflection, but we learn by those reflected other selves. In other words, the person opposite you is another you, another form of you, a mini you, if you will, or a maxi you, depending. And so in that context, you are always teaching yourself. Even though it looks like another one is there, you have called that person forward into your life to serve as your teacher, because that person best reflects to you what you need to learn. Same thing in the environments that we create around ourselves. And again, bear in mind, there are no victims. You have created, allowed, prayed for, postulated, mocked up, encouraged, or demanded everything that happens to you. Why? Because you're here to learn truth. You learn truth in the lower worlds by reflection, by experiences in duality, which are illusion. You cannot possibly ever be separated from the oneness of Source. And yet, it seems as though we are living individual, discrete, separated lives. And yet, having become the many, in highest truth, we remain the one. I think here is a good place to give you a few analogies from nature which reflect this truth. It is said that if there were no gurus, no teachers, to tell us of our own divine nature, that creation itself would reveal the nature of God and the nature of life. So I always like to point to nature, and I always like to point to scientific principles behind nature, because I find that truth always mirrors itself into nature. It's said that nature is the best preacher and life is the best teacher. And I certainly would agree with that. So let's take, for example, water. Christ in the Bible is often referred to as the living water, that if man drinks of that living water, they will never again thirst. In the Hindu tradition, Krishna is referred to as the taste of water that quenches Trishna, Trishna meaning thirst. So Krishna is the one that removes Trishna, or thirst. And Christ is the living water, that if you drink of it, you will never again thirst. What is this living water? Well, it's a perfect analogy for God. Why is that? Well, because water is one. And yet, listen at the many forms that water can take. Water can appear as clouds. Water can appear as rain, as hail, sleet, ice, vapor, steam, fog, mist, and snow. Now, what's so interesting about snow, and in fact, that's the most perfect, in my way of thinking, analogy for the human soul or spirit, is that every single snowflake is absolutely unique in its patterning. And if you've ever studied, and I know many of you have, the different forms that snow can take, it's absolutely exquisite. How can there be a unique shape to every snowflake? Isn't that a miracle? And yet, in an exact analogy, every single human being, even though we're made in the image and likeness and of the same stuff as God, we are absolutely, irrepeatably unique. And another thing that water does, which is a very perfect reflection of the nature of the lower worlds of duality, is that water can appear as a mirage. And it can look exactly like water, you know, shining on a desert highway. And then when you get really close to it, it disappears. So in an exact analogy, the closer you get to truth, the more the world of perception and difference and separation and warfare and all of that, the more it dissolves into the one. And you simply don't notice it anymore. So I'd ask you this. I've done this in other shows. What are you noticing the most? That will let you know where you are in this awakening process. I read many people send me their visions and their dreams and their prophecies and all these things. And I think they're all extremely interesting because they show you what has been put in the stew pot of their consciousness. You know, output equals input. What you keep stuffing into your mind and into your eyes and into your ears and into your attention is eventually going to outpicture in your experiential reality, or at least what you think of as your reality in your daily life. So I suggest that we put quality input if we want quality output. And if we want love, then let's just put love in so that only love comes out. And then you'll experience a loving reality. Makes sense, doesn't it? So another analogy from nature. God is likened to the sun. The sun stays fixed in the sky and sends forth rays. And the rays are an exact analogy to human consciousness or the human spirit. Again, these rays of the sun go forth. They can fall on all kinds of terrain. They can fall on fair and foul, and yet they're not affected at all. They can fall upon mud. They can fall upon beautiful grass or flowers, and yet the ray of the sun is not affected. They can fall into different kinds of receptacles. They can fall into a little cup. They can fall into a vast ocean. And yet, they are not affected. In a like analogy, even though it seems like in this holodeck of illusory, mocked up scenes, you seem to be experiencing these different things happening, these different relationships, these different experiences. But in highest truth, they don't leave an effect that sullies you. Nothing you can do ever can change eternal love. And that is who you are and what you are eternally. You are the love and the light and the living water and the living sound of Almighty God. Simply rayed forth into time and space. To do what? To illumine. You are the light of this world. You are the light. When Jesus was in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. When I leave the world, you will be the light of the world. So we have received the Christ mantle to be the light of the world and the visible body of God, the visible image, just like Jesus was a visible image of the Creator in time and space, we are now immantled, commissioned with a divine mandate to be the light of the world and to be the body of the Christ in this world. We are the ones that bring this transformation to bear that we are calling a dimensional shift. The dimensional shift is occurring because once the vibration gets to a certain level, by its very nature, it has to transform into the next, just like the clouds become the rain and eventually become the snow. Likewise, we have that ability to morph into different manifestations at each level. When you can experience more than one of these manifestations, it's called multidimensional consciousness. And to keep us from going Looney Tunes here, most of us choose to express a limited version of our multidimensionality. However, with the increase of sensitivity and attunement, many, many people are becoming aware of more than one reality. We're seeing this in reflected in the television shows. People are all of a sudden able to see the beings that coexist in another dimension. Sometimes these are called spirits or hauntings, and it's so funny how they will always make these seem very dire and scary, and they'll make this foreboding music and do all of this drama around something that's totally innocent. It's like, get a grip. You live in a many and one universe that's teeming with life. We've all seen the pictures of microbes when the magnification is brought up, and they look like these huge monsters, and they're these little tiny things. You can't even see them. And they exist. Everything is teeming with life. There's no such thing as empty space at all. And more than one thing can occupy the same space, multidimensionally. When something is in a slightly different wavelength, it can occupy the exact same space. So likewise, we are co-inhabiting right now the next dimensional universe, which is an energy universe that we call the Holy Spirit or the Shekinah universe. We are actually being overlaid by that now, so much so that for some souls there is a shifting back and forth between the two so quickly that it doesn't go into time register. Proof of that is, and you've all had this experience, I know, you put something down, like let's say your car keys. You see you've put them on the kitchen table. You turn around, you get something out of the refrigerator, you turn around, you go to reach for your keys, and you don't find them. You look all through the house, and finally you say, well, I remember I left them on the kitchen counter. You go back to the kitchen counter, and there they are. Well, where did they go? Well, for just a slight shift, you were in the other dimension. And in that dimension, you didn't have the car keys. You don't need cars over there. So this bleed through of dimensionality and timelines is very, very much what's happening today. People are really seeing their own creation, their own history, their own cause and effect in their dreams, in their visions, in their sensitivity, in the things that they are choosing to make real and to populate their world with. I often think it's very interesting because people, by what they're focusing on, will tell you what they are. Hello. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, what you see is what you are. I think my 3-year-old daughter came up with that one. I thought, you know, that is so true. You see what you are. It's very interesting, too, that you go in the direction that you're focused. We all know that when we're driving a car or riding a bicycle for the first time. It's like, you know, you really have to keep your eyes right before you or you'll veer into that whatever it is you're trying to avoid on the side. So bear this in mind, that your picture of reality, your chosen worldview, is what you are seeing. Be it fearful or be it hopeful. Be it full of faith and miracles and beauty and the revelation of a golden age, or be it coming world and global holocaust and destruction and obliteration. But let me tell you another thing, beloveds. One way or the other, we're out of here, okay? Are you prepared to to leave this world. Are you? Are you prepared to leave this world? Are you prepared to leave this world and to progress into another? Because another thing you can never change is the fact that you can never cease to exist. You are an immortal being. You will never, ever cease to exist. You will always have conscious awareness. You know, the old saying is, you can go on a vacation, but wherever you go, there you are. The one person that you really need to love and get to really appreciate and celebrate and support and be the best friend of is yourself. Because you are stuck with yourself for eternity. What will shift, however, is your understanding of self. And if you're looking at something that is not divine, you're not looking at anything that's real, okay? Only the divine is real, and that is who you are. All of the appearances in time and space, fraught with any contamination of separation or fear or duality. In fact, it's saying the same thing, really, because the perception of separation is what has birthed fear. And fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real. So everything that you're hearing on the television, in these various forms of media, is false evidence appearing real. In fact, we are learning, actually, every day, the importance of listening to the voice of truth within us and not following the outer. We are learning to go within, and we learn that through really getting confused and disappointed and upset and frightened and terrorized and tyrannized by the outer false evidence appearing real. So if you would know the truth of the self, look only to the good, to the godly, to the divine, and leave everything else up to God. Really, put on those divine blinders, if you will, that you put on horses to keep them from shying and turning over your carriage. Just put on those little pads on either side of your eyes and keep your eyes single on where you want to go. I think all of you would really like to progress into the fifth dimension and or higher, which requires that every fearful and negative interpretation that you have made of yourself, the world, or another, you must resolve it now. You cannot pass into those higher divine vibrations carrying that baggage. I know that you can't do it out of your own strength. You need to tap into that divine indwelling power, the spirit of the living God that indwells you, that breathes you, that beats your heart, that is the spirit of life within you. You need to turn to that and to throw all of the grievance, all of the anger, all of the frustration, all of those unholy, the states that are not whole, all those unwhole states, throw it into the fire of that inner divinity and let it be dissolved through grace. You can do that by stating it out loud. You can do it by prayer. You can do it by constantly bringing yourself to correction whenever you step out of the flow of love and grace, whenever you come under that law of vengeance, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We were delivered 2,000 years ago by the fulfilling of the law by Jesus the Christ. That's why he's called the Savior, the Messiah. He already delivered us from the curse of the law and set us free through grace. So why do it the hard way? use what's been given to you. You've been set free. You're like the canary that sits in a cage with the little door open and it's afraid to go out and fly. Beloveds, get out of the cage of constricted beliefs and thoughts and mindsets and projections on a virginal, pristine, and innocent creation. There's nothing out there that's going to hurt you. There's nothing to fear but fear. You can actually take the most fearful scenario, and if you refuse to buy into it and to hook into it through fear or attraction or repulsion, if you can go into divine neutrality, you will become out of sync with that particular outpicturing, and you will become invisible to it. Jimmy Twyman tells a wonderful story in a book I highly recommend called The Emissaries of Light. And when he was over in Bosnia and Croatia and they were having this terrible war, he got caught in a camp of meditators in the middle of the forest. And these were emissaries of light that meditated 24 hours a day and mediated for peace in that war-torn area of the world. And all of a sudden, while he was visiting in this camp, the soldiers broke into that compound where there were houses and people and life going on. But because they were in a whole different vibratory reality, they were invisible. If you want to know how to put on the cloak of invisibility, go into the self through a deep breath, center in your inner reality, and retract and withdraw all affinity of alliance with the outer outpicturing. I have done this on so many times I can't tell you, and I know that when there's no external thought emanation or fear emanation, you become invisible. I've had wild animals come right up to me doing that, deer and other very, very sensitive animals. And I would come into a completely divine neutral state. They would think I was perhaps a tree. I don't know. But I didn't put out any kind of an energy that they could interpret as aggressive. I suggest you practice putting on the cloak of invisibility. Put on this cloak of your divinity, your divine identity. Know who you are eternally. Not the face that you wear just for this, 410 amount of years, or this face that has progressed from a baby to perhaps now even an older person, or maybe even one that you no longer even recognize. See, you couldn't even hold this form constant in time and space. Where's the baby? Where's the youth? Where's that hunk you were 20, 30 years ago? Where did they go? Hello? These are not who you are. If it can be changed, it's not real. It's a passing phenomena, but it's not eternally real. The definition of truth is that which can never be modified, compromised, shifted, changed, or reflected. Remember that root word satyam in Sanskrit is what we're talking about. Sat, eternal existence, eternal beingness. So this is the identity that you need to move into, however you do it. If your life becomes such a nightmare that suddenly you wake up, so be it. For some saints, it has happened that way. Your path is the path that you have chosen. Your waking up is at your choice and your direction. You are in charge. You are in the driver's seat. You are the one calling the shots. And I would say, you at a higher level, not the personality, the ego, that person. That is a coloration of how you're interpreting your life, but that's not who's calling the shots. The one calling the shots is who you are eternally as a divine incarnation, a ray of God, a ray of that eternal light, a drop of that living water, whatever metaphor you want to use. That is who you are, beloveds. Now, as we progress into this next stage, bear in mind, as I have mentioned on previous shows, we are actually, as a human species, let's say as a kingdom of nature, we have gone to the ultimate degree that we can progress in this current form, in this current, let's say, operative software. We'll use some computer terms here. So for some time now, actually for the past 2,000 years, we have been gradually undergoing downloading and a rebooting into a much stronger power drive system, and superior software programming has been gradually put into us. In fact, some of the young people being born today and growing up their bodies today, as I mentioned in our last show, already come in with the new software installed. So don't try to run the old programs on them. It's not going to work. They come in with a whole different software system. In fact, I found it interesting. My good friend Drinvalo Melchizedek was mentioning that these kids coming in now have even an altered digestive system. They're like goats. They can eat anything. You see, we're extremely adaptable as a human species, because through at least the last several decades of eating junk food, the bodies now of the youth have adapted to where that works for them. So we're not even under the old bondage of the laws of, you know, what you should, quote, eat and shouldn't, quote, eat. You eat what you eat. You do what you do. And it works for you or it doesn't, and you find out what works for you by working it. So we are in a time which I would like us to really enjoy and really celebrate and really have a lot of fun with. And if you're not a happy camper, it's because you're looking in the wrong area, okay? Redirect your focus and really begin to enjoy this last little whoop-de-doo that we're doing in the third dimension, on the fourth dimension. There's not much yet on the fourth dimension, the third dimension anymore. We're pretty much in the fourth dimension. I think probably everybody on Earth is at this point. So ready or not, one of these things or some of these things or all of these things are going to happen to every one of us. Number one, we're either going to experience death, which, as I mentioned in a previous show, Jesus has described as the central illusion from which all illusions spring, because it's impossible to die. That's that lame word they call in the third dimension, the passage from one room in the house to the next, or one dimension to the next, or one body to the next body that's a little bit more subtle. Or we're going into a dimensional shift. Or we're going into the rapture. The Bible says that there will be the sound of a trumpet and the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise. Those are the people who are, you know, passed away, that are presumably in their graves or wherever they were scattered as ashes or whatever, that their atoms reassemble and they're caught up in another dimension. And those that are still in the physical body, they are also caught up in another vibratory dimension, and they put on incorruptible bodies of light. That pretty much sounds like the ascension, doesn't it? So we're talking about a dimensional shift, which we could also call the rapture, which means the great catching away, the great goes out of time, because it goes so quickly that suddenly you go from a state of mortality to a state of immortality, which means that the very electrons and molecules and atoms that constitute our various vehicles and bodies all of a sudden are returned to their original divine state. You go from the nightmare to the reality, the truth. And according to our beloved Christian community, this is very eminent in terms of how they interpret the signs of the time. And this is the first aspect of a two-part return of Christ. Now, you can look at the return of Christ as the physical appearance of Jesus in the sky. You can look at it as the returning of Christ consciousness, or the awakening, or the truth returning to our minds. We can look at it in terms of moving our awareness into a harmonic with unconditional divine love, which again is what we call the Christ consciousness, or the state of self-realization. There are many ways to say the same thing, and we needn't be so enamored of one model of reality that we close our minds to different ways of looking and languaging the same thing. I find that most arguments that we have regarding spirituality are semantical. They have nothing to do with what actually is being discussed. It's the terms that are used that cause the disagreement. So, by the way, as a little mixing of metaphors here, do you know why the Hare Krishnas have that little bit of hair that they let hang down in the back like a little ponytail out of their bald heads? That's so Krishna can have something to grab a hold of when they are lifted up. It's sweet, you know? So let's have something for the Lord to lift us, whether you wish to call the Lord Mahavishnu, Krishna, Jesus the Christ, Avalokiteshvara, whatever. Let's just know that we as a species are returning to the truth of our divine nature. And let's enjoy it and celebrate it. So again, we have death, we have the dimensional shift, we have the rapture, then we have the beam up. Many people, including myself, have been physically beamed up in ships or taken up in soul body or in their astral body. And many of our ground crew will be relocated through being beamed up and returned to their place of origin. Some of them will be returned to other planetary systems to continue on with what they're doing, or continuing their work on another dimensional level, because basically we're tourists here. Not exactly here on a vacation, but we're here as visitors, many of us that are star-seeded souls. We're visitors here, and we're not actually here to experience some of the training that people who have evolved on the Earth are experiencing and needing to undergo, for many of them, the first time. Then you have another expectation and mindset, which is the ascension. And the ascension simply means the acceleration of vibrations in the molecules, in the electrons, in the atoms of your physical, so that it becomes more and more of the vibration of your spiritual self, your spiritual bodies of light. And this produces a tremendous sense of heat in the body. Sometimes that's referred to as kundalini, but actually the ascension fire is an even higher and a more refined energy that is quickening people. And those of you that are suffering from heat in the body, that's what that is. That's the acceleration of the frequency of your electrons. And just make sure you drink plenty of water and take care of yourself. Think of yourself as very, very beautiful crystal. You're like crystalline. And take care of yourself as you would something very precious and very delicate and crystalline. And bring in that refinement of energy around you. Beautiful, anything that's beautiful that uplifts and inspires you is going to assist with that ascension process. So now, whether you go through death, the dimensional shift, the rapture, the beam up and relocation, or the ascension, basically you're going to all end up in the place of your highest vibratory embracement. The level that best matches you as a frequency of light and love and divine sound is going to be where you're going to find yourself. So it doesn't really matter how you do it. The destination is assured. And your only choice that's going to really matter is to make the choice for love, for Christ, for light, for God, for goodness. When you make the choice for that positive upflow, you will find yourself in the realm of the divine, in that upward flow. That is a definite choice that must be made by each of us as we incarnate. We come into a life where we have to choose back. Every step of the way, we have to choose back. Because the highest and divine forces will never inflict, never coerce, and never force anything upon you. It's all your free will elective. So make your will useful to you by be willing to let go that which doesn't work, which is not loving, which is not growing corn in your cornfield, and move to that which does. Move to that which is light. It says in the scriptures, I set before you life and death. Therefore, choose you life. And life is that which is good and grows and expands and reaches out and extends and opens and embraces and allows and frees and liberates and soars. And pretty soon you find you're no longer on this earth at all. And you're in a different version and you didn't even know how you got there. Except you know what? You got there thought by thought, choice by choice, second by second. And remember, every second spent in pure, innocent love is a choice for eternity. So return again and again to that holy instant where all separation and all vengeance and all fear and all negativity is not part of your reality at all. You're not looking there. You're not focused on that. You're simply focused on eternal love. So that is a choice. And it's a choice that many, many people are making. And you can see them that have made that choice because their faces glow. They're smiling. They have unfurrowed brows. They sleep like babies at night. They digest their food. They're healthy. They're happy. They're centered. They're at peace. They could leave this world the next second. And they would leave with a smile, in grace, and be carried to a beautiful realm because they have learned to live in the Lord. They've learned to rest in God as the planet rests in space. They've learned to yield themselves and their future and their life into the hands of the divine. They've learned to live clothed with that divine mantle of grace. And they walk in innocence and love, and they see goodness and the face of Christ wherever they look. And that is the ideal, beloved. When we can see only one in everyone we look at, then we will know that we have moved back into our true divine identity. Because you look at where you look from. You see what you're looking through. So let's make it divine. Let's pray ardently, if we haven't already done so, that the Holy Spirit of truth within us will correct our vision so that we can see through the upper vision of the divine self, that we can see through the eyes of the Master. There is actually in the forehead, you read in the scriptures about the mark on the forehead. The mark in the forehead is actually a crystalline energy field that enables you to see through the upper vision and to interpret light and life through that higher consciousness. It literally enables you to move actually into the other world without any reference to the past. In fact, in this world of reflected light, we actually don't see anything with our physical vision at all. We only see the past. We only have past reference points to identify things that come into our experience. And therefore, we're not experiencing reality because we're locked into the past and interpretations we've already made of the past. For example, when it says that you have to become like a little child to move into the kingdom of heaven, think about it this way. we pick up a cup, and we know immediately that that cup, if we drop it, is going to shatter and break if it's made of glass. We also know the feeling of that cup, what it feels like to drink our morning tea or coffee or whatever. It's familiar to us. So do we actually see the cup as it is today? Or do we actually see through the referencing of our past experience with the cup what the cup is? But take a little child, a little baby. They come in, they haven't a clue what a cup is. They don't know whether to put it on their head or to pee-pee in it or what it's for or to toss it in the air, whatever. Can we be so fresh and innocent with what we're moving into that we don't have to have a past reference point, but we can allow the reference point we have of eternal love, eternal grace, eternal support? Can we just yield to that? Can we trust into this new vibration? Do we have to have some soothsayer or fortune teller tell us what our future is going to be like? Wouldn't it be fun just to have an experience like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven and just go, whoa, wow, fun, wonder what that is. Let's see, let me feel it, taste it, put it on my head and smear it all over my body and see what it does. I believe, beloveds, that we can enjoy this transfiguration, this moving into this pristine, new, beautiful version of the earth. I believe we can have such fun with it. I believe that we can choose into absolute joy, celebration, right now. I believe that we need to laugh and laugh and laugh and smile. In fact, Sai Baba has so many endearing statements, and one of the things he says is, if you feel sad, don't talk about it, and don't act it out. Fool everybody. Smile. Fool your mood by smiling. And instead of complaining, give thanks to God. Instead of being angry and vindictive, give praise to God. Thank God for what you have and for what he's doing in your life rather than what you think is happening to you. Put aside that old vengeance, that old blaming everything and everyone on something outside of yourself. That is not part of your identity. That is part of the fourth dimension that we need to each face. There are no victims. Everything is as it should be. There are no mistakes. You will never be given anything you can't handle, and everything in your life is working itself together for your good and for your emancipation. It's a stepping stone to God. Everything in your life is part of your prayer to return to eternal love and eternal truth. Not as a static state, because we're in an open-ended creation that's moving from revelation to revelation, from glory to glory. And glory is a word that pertains to the realm of the divine. That true home, which in highest truth we have never left, which has remained absolutely perfect, absolutely safe, awaiting our return in consciousness, so that once again we can dance amongst the stars and illumine worlds yet to be birthed with our light and our love. This is the thing, beloved, to really focus on. I find that most people are, they're very afraid of things that they don't know about. The biggest fear, I think, probably that everybody has in the world is the fear of death. And that is, I would say if you're afraid of death, then you need to do some study. You need to read the Bhagavad Gita. You need to read portions of the Bible, let's say the Gospel of John. You need to read the Course in Miracles. And you need to do some study of near-death experiences. so that you begin to become familiar with these different states of consciousness that are normal to everyone. Why fear something you have been through millions and millions of times? And here you are. Hello. So many people have recall of their past lives. So many people have proof that they do not ever cease to exist. Listen to the saints, those sages and rishis and holy men and women that have realized the truth. No matter where you hear them speak, they always speak from that surety of knowing who they are eternally. And they're always in that deep centered state of serenity and peace. That, beloved, is your natural state of being. Why do we get so upset when we see a baby that cries? And we never get upset when a baby's smiling, do we? Because we all know deep inside that happiness and joy is our nature, that we're meant to be serene. Why do we ask our friend when they look upset, what's the matter? You know, what's troubling you? That's because peacelessness is unnatural. We all know that. We all know that the closer we get to truth, the more peace, the more love, the more security, the more centeredness, the more solidity we feel, and the more release we feel to live life and to enjoy life and to enjoy intimacy and to enjoy just being present with people. You can't be available and present when you have those barriers of fear and separation. And none of those barriers can be taken with you into the realm of light that we call the fifth dimension. Beloveds, like it or not, we are out of here. We're moving right through this dimension, and we're almost at the point of no return. People have pretty much been graded in terms of their light quotient. They're already moving in the area of their choices. So make sure that you have placed yourself fully and completely in the hands of the Lord, that your whole heart and life is filled with that divine presence. Do everything in your power to fortify and to strengthen your faith and your confidence in your eternal divine reality. And love, love, love. Love is the boarding pass into this next dimension. As you move into this state of grace, which sets you off from that old dog-eat-dog, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth law, it gets you right out from under that, moves you right into the superhighway of divine grace. You allow yourself to be carried, just like a little kitten in the mouth of the mother cat, across that threshold. Be innocent like a cat, a little kitten. Be innocent like a lamb. I think those are beautiful analogies for the child of God, for the being that has yielded themselves fully and completely to the divine. So whether you allow the Lord to wrap you in a mantle of grace and to carry you like the divine mother across the threshold, or you allow yourself to rise up in your own Christ nature and walk across in the authority of a kingdom ambassador, whichever model of reality is closest to your working state, go with that. Go with that, beloved, and you will find that soon, very soon, the world that has seemed to be around you of conflict and duality has just vanished. It's just like a vapor, like a mirage. You've gotten too close to the truth, and the mirage simply vanishes. Tonight we're going to do a chant called Soham, which is a chant that you chant really with every breath you take. And it means in Sanskrit, I am. Soham. It balances your yin and your yang, and also the right and left lobes of the brain, and the inner and the outer states of consciousness, so that you stay more integrated, even though you are ascending. You're quite anchored here. Soham. love and grace and blessings enfold you all. In the name of the Most High, I am Commander Lady Athena, wishing you a blessed evening.